Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 through 3 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Daniel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Daniel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. And let's finish together on verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princesses, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, thank you so much for the spirit that we have here and the hope that we have because of the word of God. Thank you for the faithfulness of our people. Most of all, thank you for your faithfulness to us, even though we don't deserve it. Father, please fill our preacher tonight with your power. We stand before you needy. Lord, we've sung praises back to you. We've read your word aloud. Now, the main event, we get to hear the preaching of the Word of God. May we listen intently so that we can get what you have for us tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I've entitled the sermon tonight, Preferred. Preferred. We read there in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 about Daniel. And there toward the end it says, this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Tonight's sermon is about that famous Bible character named Daniel. Daniel, as a young man, was carried into captivity. We know Daniel best as the miraculous survivor of the lion's den. We know Daniel best as a man who prayed three times a day, no matter what it cost him. There's something said in the scripture about Daniel that should arrest the attention of us all. Daniel chapter 6 verse 3 says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. You understand, there were people there that had reached the rank of what they would call president or the princes of the land. And Daniel, who was a captive in the land, was preferred above the presidents that were not captive in the land. You talk about something special about this man. Daniel was preferred. When Daniel was originally carried away as captive, a man by the name of Melzar was warden of the captives. He was in charge of all the captives. And this man, Melzar, preferred Daniel. There were three other young men that were caught with Daniel, that were captive with Daniel. Melzar preferred them as well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think they were preferred by Nebuchadnezzar, and I believe Daniel was preferred by Belshazzar because he was given an important position under Belshazzar. King Darius preferred Daniel. King Cyrus preferred Daniel. Daniel's own people preferred Daniel. The Lord's hand was upon Daniel, indicating that God also had a certain preference to Daniel. There was something about Daniel's way and something about Daniel's testimony that created a trust in him by others. Daniel was trusted, and so he was preferred. Daniel was respected, and so he was preferred. There was something about Daniel that caused people to say, I'd prefer to be around him. I would prefer to let him lead. I would prefer to put him in charge. Because of the quality of his testimony, he was preferred. Now, wouldn't it be something if God said of you that, well, he or she, I just prefer to use them. Now, what an honor. I prefer to use them. Wouldn't it be an honor to think that you were God's preference? God said, well, all things common, I just prefer to use him. I think I'd just prefer to use her. The Bible says that Daniel was preferred. Now, what does it mean to be preferred? Daniel 6:3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents. Now, Webster's dictionary says to prefer means to promote, to be like better, or a special liking, or a choice selection. Really, preferred means to be distinguished, or to distinguish oneself by excelling, by enduring, and lasting more than average, and behaving in a higher than average way. When you look in the Bible, John speaks about Jesus three times in one chapter, and in his reference to Jesus, Jesus is preferred. And I'm glad it is said more about Jesus than anyone he was preferred, because indeed, he is the preferred one. In John 1:15, it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So there is John referring to Jesus as the preferred one. In John 1:27 it says, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. There's a second time in John chapter 1 that John refers to Jesus as the preferred one. In John chapter 1 verse number 30 it says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. And again, three times in one chapter, John said, there's the one to prefer. It's Jesus. The word prefer is used in Romans chapter 12, verse number 10, telling us as Christians that we should, in humility, prefer others before ourselves. In other words, God said it's okay that you prefer someone else or that somebody else prefer you. In a moment, I'm going to tell you, you're not to prefer yourself. But Romans chapter 12, verse number 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor for preferring one another. David speaks of preferring the city of Jerusalem. He says in Psalm 137, verse number 6, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Esther was preferred and became the queen in Shushan the palace. The Bible says in Esther 2:9, and the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her the things for purification, which such things as belongeth to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house, and he preferred her. The word preferred in any form is used only eight times in the entire Bible. Three times, Jesus is preferred. Once, Esther is preferred. Once, Jerusalem is preferred. Twice, you and I, in general terms, are to have humble behavior, preferring someone else over ourselves, and then we see this Daniel is preferred. Now, let me tell you something. Daniel did not seek to be preferred, but he sought the quality of testimony that caused him to be preferred. And I want to make sure you get that. You say, I want to be preferred. The Bible says that we're to lift him up, not ourselves. In Daniel chapter 2, verse number 20, this is what it says. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Again, Daniel did not seek to be preferred, but he sought the quality of testimony that caused him to be preferred. You see, he wanted to lift God up, not himself. That's why it says here, he talks about wisdom and might. He said, wisdom and might are his. They are God's. Daniel was not trying to get people to lift him up, nor was he trying to earn a slot with the big shots. Daniel was behaving right. That's why he was preferred. He was not seeking to be preferred. He was seeking God. Daniel was not trying to get people to prefer him. Daniel just wanted to do right. Daniel didn't compromise to be preferred. Daniel wouldn't do wrong to be preferred. Daniel was not trying to be somebody, but he was trying to be like somebody. And that's Jesus. His purpose was not to be personally exalted. His purpose was to exalt God. Daniel wanted to be right, and he wanted to do right. And that is what produced the benefits of right. Daniel was not trying to get leadership to look at him. He knew God was always looking at him, and all he wanted to do was please God. So you understand that to be preferred, it means to distinguish yourself by excelling and enduring and lasting longer and behaving in an above average way. But Daniel was not seeking to be preferred. He was seeking a proper testimony. But let me tell you why Daniel was preferred. Daniel was preferred because there was an excellent spirit in him. Daniel 6:3 says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him." Notice the words, excellent spirit. You see the result. The king, because he was preferred, because of this excellent spirit, the king thought to set him over the whole realm. The last part of that verse says, "And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Now, you don't put somebody in charge of everything unless you trust them in a big way. Remember, Daniel is not a Persian. He is a captive from an enemy country. He didn't agree with their beliefs. He didn't agree with their ways. He didn't agree with their religion. You know what? He had a better attitude as a captive than the free people that agreed with the king. The king watched him and said, "This guy has a great attitude. This guy has a proper spirit." He had his spirit under control. Let's say he had an average spirit. Today, it's hard to find an average spirit. But to find an excellent spirit is virtually unheard of. We're to have a right spirit. This is talking about our spirit. This isn't talking about the Holy Spirit, it's talking about our spirit. I should have a Christ-like spirit. My spirit should be in harmony with the Word of God. Our spirit should be refreshing to those around us. Paul praises Philemon for having a refreshing spirit. It says this in Philemon 1:7, it says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Paul said, "You are a refreshing person. You refresh my spirit, and you refresh the spirit of those around you." Moaners and groaners do not have the respect of the people around them. Daniel had plenty of reasons to have a bad spirit. You say, why? He was a slave. He had been taken out of his country, away from his family. He had lost it all. He had every reason in the world to have a bad attitude. And the people that were his captors said, "That guy's attitude is better than the presidents of our country that are free." This guy had an excellent spirit. He decided not to let his circumstances determine his spirit or attitude. You see, I must yield my spirit to the Holy Spirit if I'm going to have a Christ-like spirit. The word heart in the Bible is often used. It's the same as the word heart and spirit are a lot alike in the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." You see, here a healthy spirit is compared to medicine. It will keep me and others spiritually healthy. Let me tell you something. A healthy spirit works two ways. It'll work on you physically. You will be physically healthier if you have a good attitude. But secondly, it works on you spiritually. Notice, if my spirit is broken, it destroys my bones. Well, what's in the bones? The marrow. What does the marrow do? It produces blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Are you health to the people around you, or are you disease to the people around you? Does your attitude make this church a healthier place, or does your attitude make this church a sick place? You see, Daniel, the Bible says, had an excellent spirit. He had an excellent attitude. Whatever Daniel was involved in, it became healthier because of him. Daniel had a merry heart. Daniel had a refreshing spirit. Daniel had a spirit of victory. Daniel had a spirit of joy. Daniel did right when nobody could see it, and he had an excellent spirit. You say, why does the Bible say that Daniel was preferred? Because Daniel had an excellent spirit. Not only that, Daniel was preferred because he lived a clean life. Let me read to you from Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Men said, 'These men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" See, Daniel's testimony was very, very clean. Daniel was preferred because he lived above reproach. He was preferred not because of what he seemed to be, but because of what he really was. Daniel was a real, true blue on the inside and on the outside, in the light and in the dark Christian. Daniel behaved away from church like he would behave at church in the presence of the brethren. He was a true good Christian. You see, what happened is these people around him, they became jealous, and I guess I understand why. When you get this guy that they captured and brought in from out of town, and he is a slave, and they promote him above the presidents, don't you think the presidents are going to be ticked off? Now, who should the presidents be mad at? The presidents ought to be mad at themselves for not having the kind of testimony in their own country that would exalt them. Hey, when the king has to bring somebody in that's a slave from the outside to run the joint, you got a lot of problems with the leadership in the joint. Well, they've got a problem with this, you see. These people became jealous of Daniel. That's why they sought, the Bible says, to find something against him. Be careful when you find yourself just looking for wrong in somebody. You're just looking for it. You want to make a case. Anytime someone succeeds and anytime someone's promoted, old smutty face goes to work rallying some people around to see if we can find something wrong with the one that's been promoted. If any of you want to understand something, if you begin to succeed at anything, get ready. You'll also succeed at drawing a group of critics. If your Sunday school class begins to grow and become strong, somebody will criticize you for it. If your bus route becomes strong, somebody will criticize you for it. You start reaching people, somebody will criticize you for it. The devil says, well, we've got to get that person down. They said, surely we can find something wrong with Daniel. Praise God. The Bible says in verse number 5, they said, they end up saying this, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel." In other words, they started out and said, "We're going to find something on him." They searched and they said, "We can't find the man doing anything wrong." You see, what I'm telling you is he was preferred because he lived a clean life. He was real on the surface, what everybody could see, and under the surface, where only God could see. God tells you and I that we are to abstain from even the appearance of evil. We're not just to avoid committing evil, but we are to stay away from the appearance of evil. Now remember, evil and sin are a bit different, though they're associated. Evil is when someone is out to hurt others. And if you're not evil, you should not be with evil people. Why? You give the appearance you're part of their evil speaking. Daniel was living so clean they could find nothing against him. He wasn't only not evil, he was not with evil, giving the appearance of evil. That's a powerful testimony. He wasn't a part-time Christian, full-time, 24-7. No wonder his enemies... Do you know that even his enemies trusted him? His enemy said, "The guy won't lie. He'll tell you the truth. He says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. We can go to the bank on this guy's integrity. Matter of fact, the only way we can hang him is on the fact that you know he'll tell the truth." No wonder even his captors put him in charge of other captors. You understand? An inmate was put in charge of his security guards. That is the testimony of Daniel. No wonder he was preferred. He did right at any cost, and everybody knew Daniel was not for sale. Everybody knew it? They said, if this guy tells you something, he means it. He'll be straightforward with you. He won't lie to you. He won't deceive you. He'll tell you the truth. And you see, that's where Daniel was at. No wonder he was preferred. Not only that, We see that Daniel was preferred because he had an excellent spirit. We see secondly that Daniel was preferred because he lived a clean life. And let me say, thirdly, Daniel was preferred because he had proven he was consistent. He was consistent. Daniel 6:4, the Bible says, "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Here the Bible says, "As he was faithful." Daniel not only had an excellent spirit, Daniel not only lived a holy life, he did it very consistently. He was faithful at that excellent spirit. He was faithful at living right. Daniel was not here today and gone tomorrow. Daniel was predictable. Daniel was not up today and down tomorrow. Daniel's decision-making was consistently wise and not foolish, emotional, and sporadic. He acted in the spirit, not in the flesh. He prayed about his decisions and stayed steady in all that he did. In other words, Daniel was cautious. Daniel calmed Daniel down to make sure Daniel made right decisions. They said, "This guy, you know, hey, look, everybody has ups and downs. Some people act too quickly when they're down." Daniel didn't do that. Daniel's excellent spirit was a consistent excellent spirit. Daniel did what he was to do. Daniel did what he was to do when he was supposed to do it. Daniel did what he was supposed to do when he was supposed to do it, the way it was supposed to be done. Daniel did what he was supposed to do when he was to do it, the way he was to do it every time. Now, I'm sure that wasn't easy for Daniel. But Daniel said, "It's right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it the right way when I'm to do it." You see, they could not find a kink in the armor of his obedience. He did right. Why? Because it was right to do. Daniel was consistent. Let me tell you what happened. Finally, they said, "If we can't find him doing anything wrong, we will have to create a law against his right." This is what these people did. They said, "If we can't find anything with him that's wrong, we must create a law against his right." In other words, he won't do wrong. Let's get him in trouble for his right. So they created a law against praying. Hey, would anyone say to you that the only way to tear you down is to attack you about the right things that you do? It's virtually a compliment when people attack you for being right. "So you don't like the right." "I don't like that right." That's okay. "I don't like it when you're right." Let it be said, if people want to criticize the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, criticize us for right. Say, "Well, you go too far." Fine, you criticize us for going too far. You can go find you a church that won't go that far. I don't mind being criticized for right. Especially in a day and age where right is seldom truly preached. They knew that Daniel prayed consistently 3 times a day. His consistency was so right, they wickedly developed a law against it. They said, "Our only chance is to get him for praying." Said, "We will nail you on your right." Boy, that's a pretty powerful testimony. A pretty powerful testimony. I don't remember anybody criticizing the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church for having the wrong kind of music.
Right.
"Well, you make too big of a deal about the souls of men." Fine. We're going to keep making a big deal about the souls of men.
Yes.
"I don't like it. You stand against this worldliness and you go to an extreme." That's fine. You can say that if you like. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I consider it a compliment when you say, "Well, you're not like the other churches." No, and we don't want to be like the other churches. We're different. We're supposed to be different. You want to criticize us for right? Go ahead. You say, "I don't like your stand on the King James Bible." I'm going to stand on the King James Bible. You're going to nitpick. I'll tell you what you're going to have to do around here. You have to nitpick for the sincerity of our right.
Yes, yes.
The right. The right. The right. The right. The right. You see, Daniel was preferred. Why? He had an excellent spirit. Daniel was preferred. Why? Because of a clean life. Daniel was preferred. Why? Because of his consistency. Then Daniel was preferred because of his courage concerning his convictions. The Bible says in Daniel 6:10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." See, there was a law signed to try to keep Daniel from praying. Why? They couldn't find anything bad wrong. They couldn't say, "Well, you're a liberal." They couldn't get him like that. So what did they say? They went after his conservative side. And they attacked him for it. Now they've made a law telling him, "You can't pray." So a law was signed. It was written specifically against Daniel. They knew it, and he knew it. And you say, what did he do? He went and prayed anyway. The Bible says, as he did aforetime. You know what? They knew he would go pray. They knew his convictions. They knew that when they said, "You can't pray," Daniel was not snotty with them. Daniel did not attack them. Daniel did not challenge them. But they knew he would pray. That's how strong he had given them the impression of his convictions. He was not trying to be a rebel. He just continued to do what was right. Daniel had the courage to do right. Daniel did what was right based on his conviction, driven by his courage. We see that courage and conviction in Daniel's life over and over again. Daniel was not a rebel. He was a man of conviction, and he had the courage to go along with that conviction. That's why he was preferred. Daniel 1:8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." And what happened? This meat that was offered to Daniel to eat had been offered to false gods in a sacrifice. Daniel very politely bowed out. He told them, "If you make me eat that meat, we will be weak and we will not be as strong. I'll be a better worker if you don't force me to eat that meat." Daniel was both wise and courageous, and they said, "This man is smart enough to take a stand, but he takes a strong stand." They said, you can predict him. He tells you he believes it, he believes it. You don't have to wonder what he believes. You know, conviction means God decided this, not me, and I can't change it. My convictions, I don't have a right to change my convictions. To change my conviction is not within my power. Man's laws can't change God's convictions. Daniel had the courage of a lion. Daniel said, "That is a conviction, and I'm not changing it." Daniel's convictions and courage are a result. Hey, we see him getting thrown in the lion's den. Listen to this. This is a story of Daniel getting thrown in the lion's den over not backing down and being a man of conviction. It says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, 'Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.'" Here is a lost king. Now remember this whole story. Daniel came in from another country. He's a slave. He's promoted above the presidents. He's promoted above the princes. Those are people born royalty. They take a slave, put him in charge of all these people. And everybody knew why. They said, "This is a man of integrity. This is a man that will tell the truth. This is a man that's got backbone. This is a man that's got an excellent spirit. He's got a better attitude as a slave than you do as a free man." The lost king had been so convinced of Daniel's testimony. You understand what he says to Daniel when they're getting ready to throw him in the lion's den? He says, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Will. Not might. Daniel said, "King, don't worry. God will deliver me." The king said, "Yeah, it's going to happen. I've never known this man to back down, back off, shut up, or be shut down. It is obvious he means what he says, and he says what he means, and you can go to the bank on it, everybody. I don't even believe in his God, but I'm going to tell you something." Daniel said, it's so. His God will deliver him from the lion's den. Didn't say might. Said will. Did you get the word continually? The king said, "Thy God whom thou servest continually." This king knew Daniel was a man of conviction.
He was not wishy-washy about where he stood. The king knew Daniel would not change his stand for right. That reminds me of 1 Corinthians 15:58, where it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." The king knew of Daniel's convictions and that he had the courage to go along with them. Daniel was therefore preferred. They said, "Hey, these lost people are saying that's a rare man right there. I don't even agree with what he believes, but he believes it so well and so right. He lives what he believes. That's rare. If you will be what you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do, God will give you what you're supposed to have." You know, I've had people try to tell me how to preach who have never preached a sermon in their life. I've had people tell me that I will be limited in success if I stand on the kind of convictions that I do. We can go across America and take a good, strong look and see how many people have this many hundreds and hundreds of people on a Sunday night. I don't seem to be backing off on the conviction. So you think you could do better if you drop your standards? But even if you could, I wouldn't. I have a belief. I don't know that everybody ought to have this belief. Matter of fact, I don't think they should. I have never asked for a speaking engagement in my life. Not one. Not one. A long time ago, I decided, if God wants me, He knows where I am. This country is starved for people with backbone and conviction. Backbone and conviction. We have too many politicians in the pulpits. And so you know, if I go somewhere and preach, they know what I believe. They know where I stand. You say, "Well, you mean you preach standards and convictions and all of that?" Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I love people and they know that too. They know that. Listen, some people drop their standards, drop their convictions. They want to drop it all. Why? In an effort to be preferred. And God said, "You're doing it backwards. Who do you want preferred by, me or man?"
Right.
Me or man.
Good.
All you really want is for God to look down and say, "Got my eye on you and I'm pleased." That's your goal. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. The Bible says that Daniel was preferred. Why? Best I can tell, because of his attitude. He had an excellent spirit. Because of a clean life, to the point that they couldn't find anything wrong, so they had to start writing rules against his right. Thirdly, he was consistent. The Bible says he was faithful with this attitude. He had courage and conviction. They knew he would not change his conviction. And as a result of it, he was preferred. Preferred. Don't try to be preferred by man. Just stay right with God. And God will take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're here tonight and God's spoken to your heart in some way or another about this great man, Daniel, and how that God and this group of people, and God's people, preferred him. Maybe God's spoken to your heart somehow. You may come to the altar. If you've been saved and never baptized, maybe you need to come. I don't know. You use the altar as the Holy Spirit sees fit.